I'd like to welcome back to the Radio Cafe John Davis. He's director of the MFA program in creative writing at the Institute of American Indian Arts. He's poet laureate of the city of Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Great to be here.
So we talked once a while ago when it was just getting started about this MFA program, but remind us what it is. It's a kind of unusual, well, maybe not so unusual these days, but it's a setup where you can live far away and just show up in Santa Fe from time to time and get your MFA.
Right. There are about 50 of these low-residency MFA programs in the country. So what happens is you come for a week in July, and then you do your work online for the semester. And then you come back in January for a week and do your work online for the spring semester. And the week is very intense. We start at 9:30 in the morning. We go till 8 o'clock on an early night. And it's all day writing, being workshopped, listening to people talk about writing, listening to readings.
And that week starts tomorrow, Saturday.
Yeah, tomorrow. For the public, the readings are open. And so what I really want to talk about today is that aspect of it. And tomorrow night, I will be reading along with Natalie Diaz at 6 o'clock on the campus of the Institute of American Indian Arts. There'll be signs to get you in the general vicinity.
Yeah, people get lost.
It's a big circle out there,
yeah,
south of town.
I've almost gotten lost out there. You pass the community college. Right. And then you follow the signs.
Yeah, if you follow the signs. But even when you get on campus, our campus is also a big circle and gives people trouble. But we'll have signs out that say there's an event here, and it'll be findable. Last time we did this in July, we had between 65 and 120 people each night found us.
Amazing. So they're at 6 o'clock each night through the following Friday. And Friday, January 10th, ladies and gentlemen, is Sherman Alexie, who is everybody's favorite, or so many people's favorite, because he's such a great writer and so funny.
He's hilarious. His reading is the only one that won't. We do most of the readings on the second floor of the Center for Lifelong Education, and that room holds about 150 maximum. So for Sherman, we move it to the auditorium next door, and then we can get 275 people in there, I think.
So some of the other readers include Chris Merrill, Melissa Phoebos, and that's Sunday, and Ramona Ossibel, Santa Fe's own Ramona Ossibel on Monday, and many more. And Sherwin Batsui, who we'll be talking to in just a moment, will be here on Wednesday.
Right.
So these are all faculty in the MFA program?
It's a mixture of faculty and visiting writers. So Ramona's going to be teaching a workshop this time. Sherwin's on the faculty, also teaching a workshop. But some are visitors. Sherman Alexie teaches for us, so that's kind of a major help for our program to have him around.
Very much so. Now, we were talking, when you were first telling people about this program, we were talking about matching students with their mentors, because it's not like each student works with every faculty member.
The way it works is it's a four-semester program. You have to work with three different mentors during that time. So if you find a favorite, you can work with that person two semesters in a row. Or, you know, I always suggest if you find a favorite, save that person for your thesis committee your last semester.
Right, right.
And so you're working with your favorite then. But yeah, it's a little difficult. I ask the students get to express a preference, and then I try to make that work if I can. But it's been interesting. Most of the people have gotten their first choice. A lot of the people who did not get their first choice fell in love with their second choice.
Right.
So it works out.
And what kind of work are people doing? Is it mostly poetry and fiction?
It's mostly poetry and fiction. Those programs are about the same size right now, about 12 people in each of those programs. And then there's three people in the creative nonfiction area. But I think that'll grow fast. But right now it's small. And then the smallest area, and the area that I hope to grow really fast also, is the screenwriting area, which has only one student in it now. But we have some applicants for next year already.
And that's a really important thing because of really getting native voices into cinema.
Right. And it's happening, but it's happening very slowly, and we want to make it happen faster.
We're talking to John Davis about the IAIA MFA program in creative writing. And we're joined by telephone by Sherwin Bitsui, who is a poet and faculty member at the MFA program in creative writing at IAIA. Welcome.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be on the air with you.
It's great to have you, and we hope you will read some poems in a moment, but I wanted to ask you about how it went. This is really the first semester that just happened of this writing program, and you were teaching.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like?
It was wonderful. It just was nice to work with a select number of students and to mentor them throughout the semester. And though it was distance learning for the most part, I was able to work with them one-on-one and have them send work to me and critique them and just have a conversation with them about poetry and to help them also envision the larger aspects of their work. So ultimately, it was really nice because they were in their home places and they were working and living their own lives, but I kind of felt like I was just dipping into their life, and then, you know, we talked poetry for a little bit, and they'd go on again and continue to write on their own time. So ultimately, it was a new experience, I think, for all of us, but it was nice to have that exchange and have that conversation. That's what I like most about it.
I was thinking about, I mean, the Institute of American Indian Arts has a lot of traditional Native arts and then sort of European arts, and I would think that poetry is kind of a little bit of both, because on the one hand, written poetry is a European art. On the other hand, Native languages have their oral traditions, which probably go way back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all have a poetic worldview in terms of, you know, all cultures in the world, but I think in terms of Native traditional song poems, those are spoken into a place, you know, during ceremonies and during rites. So I think in those terms, those are connected to an older time, and they're continuous, and they're still here with us. So some of the Native students might be interested in elaborating on that and bringing some kind of attention to that within their own work. So definitely the Institute of American Indian Arts provides a kind of nesting situation where some things like that can occur. It's not all Euro-based poetic tradition, but I think even I was a student at one time at the Institute of American Indian Arts, and I studied under John Davis and Arthur Z. And at that time, we also learned from Native poets, but we also had a class that spoke to classical Chinese poetry. So we were able to learn through Arthur Z and through translation this wonderful universe of classical Chinese poetry. So I think the Institute really tries to bring a larger conversation to its students and its community.
How does Navajo language inform or come into the poetry that you do and your way of thinking about language? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you can even really talk about that very easily, but I was wondering about that as I was reading your book.
It's kind of hard because, I grew up in the culture. I grew up speaking the language. I'm a part of that whole community. So I think maybe a way of thinking and a way of perceiving the world is certainly in the work. Though it's kind of hard to say that it's all informed by that, because I also live in a contemporary world. I move between spaces, and I write my poems mostly in English. So if the architecture of the work is there, I feel like it sits firmly in a kind of Navajo dynamic worldview, and I think that's where my work is projected from. And it projects outward, and it sort of paints in these dazzling imagery, I think. The impulse is there, and definitely the logic is in the work. And I just start from where I begin, and that's the base of everything that I do.
Do you ever translate any of your poems into Navajo language?
Yeah, actually, I have. And it's I translated a poem, and only really one poem that I could possibly translate into my language is from my first book, Shapeshift. And it was a long process. I mean, it took about 2 weeks and a bunch of phone calls all over the place. I mean, it was definitely taxing and labor-intensive. But I think now, I don't know, I want to continue doing it. It's probably much harder for any poet to translate into their own poems in the first place, but I would definitely, I'm open to translating other poets into Navajo. And I've done that for one of a Zapotecan poet, and I also attempted to do that for a Tonawatin poet. Her name is Ofelia Zepeda. And it's a very interesting process, and it definitely makes you find a deeper sense of appreciation for poetry, because poetry essentially is translation in my mind. You're translating the subjective, and you're translating something into something else. And I approach all of poetry in that respect. And in my own teaching, I try to have the students continue translating a line into another line, into another line, and have them explore those transitions and transformations.
Would you like to read a poem?
Sure. I'll just read this poem from Flood Song, and maybe I'll just read a little stanza from my new work. This is from Flood Song. With a gaping mouth, I sought an image to describe the knot in my chest. A car door jammed, the land divided into two new car stunts. We rode toward the ore wet with deer blood, and onward to the edge that must be crossed with crosses hammered into it. I see their footprints in fresh snow, the soft spots of their childhood heads pushed branchless into the parched earth. Gray amnesia swirling after songbirds in its dome. The distance they travel chipped down to a few powdery beginnings in the arroyo with flies buzzing out of it. So this is a newer work, and I'll just finish up with this one. Dimmest below our downward gaze, these stars gazing back at us. Rented from a shepherd of doves, we return, replenish with categories. What's left in our chest scrapes teeth on bone meal. Every link in the trail to here is a bullet's path to back there. Deer gray, the herd's earache. A glossary's cataclysm smoothed over the hatchet tucked into a sheath of starlight locates fractures potted in cisterns of smog. Song's feet, the mind's pixels. It bends a glimmer into a rope, tosses it out with bathwater. Storm patterns peek in from a fly-papered horizon. They trawl beds of sleeping weather patterns. Not the ridge, not our jumping-off point. The vowels of the starved hang over the sequel of them. Dog-eared in amnesia, a question's hands, spear wet on why.
Poetry by Sherwin Bitsui. One of the things that I was noticing listening to you and reading your book is that there are so many kind of unlikely juxtapositions of words, like images that you wouldn't necessarily put together in a normal thought or a regular sentence. And it reminded me of how people talk about the experience of synesthesia, like hearing colors or seeing sensations and things like that. And I wondered if you experienced anything like that.
Not really. I don't think I experienced anything like that in my life. I think poetry, I'm definitely a poet who is between places, cultures and languages. So I think that offers me some space to write from or be from. And so I definitely like, in my work, I feel like poetry can open new sensations or create new sensations. And vivid, I said that, I guess just thinking that my work speaks vividly to the present and the way the present is informing me.
I was going to say, I wanted to jump in, because on that subject, Sherwin's also a painter, and the paintings are remarkably like the poems in a strange,
kind of
an inexplicable way, but I think that plays into that.
That like
process.
The cover of the book.
Right, the cover of the book is a painting by Sherwin.
We're looking at the book, Flood Song. I'll hold it up to the microphone so our radio audience can see it. John Davis, would you like to read a poem or two?
I'll read one poem by myself, and then if we have time, I'd like to read a couple of others.
Okay, great.
And this is a poem I've always wanted to read aloud. Every year at the Associated Writing Program's annual conference, we have dinner with this group. And every year I write something, sometimes an absurdist short story. But this is called Self-Portrait with Goat, about a meal we had. A very expensive meal, by the way. I could have bought myself a new used car for the price we paid.
What?
Self-Portrait with Goat. Begin with a vortex, anodyne and grave, apocalypse of bleats, blur of vexations, add a waiter, a provisioner of meats, hawker of sides, slosher in the tidal rush. Then let the chef decide, for she will decree unkempt salads, olives warm as tongues, dapper oysters adrift in their ragged boats, pork bellies, baby octopi, escargot ravioli like letters from a secret lover. Then she will initiate the order of the goat. It will settle table words serenely amidst the ruckus and folderol. It will induct and be night. It will command an audience, commend itself thusly. It will shred easily to the tendered fork, make even vegetarians dream of rocky hillsides, the steep ascent. Orbited by minions and by minions consumed, a brief for friendship, a prolegomena for poetry, this conspiracy near midnight, this vaunting of the heretofore unvaunted, this cataleptic and tenderest night.
Poetry by John Davis. Goat.
We hardly had energy for the goat by the time it arrived. It was quite a meal.
John, what do we have next?
This is a poem by Joan Kane called Hyperborea.
Now, she will be reading on Tuesday, January 7th at 6 o'clock, along with Chip Livingston.
Right. And Joan just won the Donald Hall Prize from the Associated Writing Programs. And this is her second book. It's called Hyperborea. It's a title poem. Arnica nods heavy-headed on the bruised slope. Peaks recede in all directions, in heat haze, evening in my recollection. The shield at my throat ornamental and worse. We descended the gully thrummed into confusion, with the last snow melt a tricklet into mud, ulterior. One wolfbane bloom, iodine hued, rising on its stalk into the luster of air. June really isn't June anymore, is it? A glacier's heart of milk loosed from a thousand summer days in extravagant succession from the back of my tongue, dexterous and sinister.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Just beautiful language.
Yeah. Poetry by Joan Kane. And it's getting to be about time to go, but I wanted to ask you both, I mean, this is the January residency time where all the students who are usually not around and whom you're working with online show up. So not only are you doing these readings for the public every night from this Saturday until the next Friday for the public, but you're working very intensively all day. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right.
Well, Sherwin might want to answer that because he's right in the middle of it. He's on the front line.
Yeah, John's cracking the whip, and we're all moving around. Yeah, it's really intensive. I mean, just from my experience in August, I just remember. I'm just going to have to sleep well, and work hard every day and drink lots of coffee. Hey, John, are you going to get the coffee makers?
Oh, yeah, we'll have plenty of coffee. But you need to hydrate. And you're in training, right? You're in training now?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good.
But did the students at that time get to really meet and kind of share with each other? Because most of the time, they're all in different places,
right.
Presumably.
Yeah, they'll be in workshops. There's two poetry workshops, two fiction workshops, one creative nonfiction, and one screenwriting. So everybody sees a group of other people every morning from 9:30 to noon. In the afternoons, we have workshops that are open. They're kind of cross-genre workshops that you can, if you're a poet and you want to try your hand at nonfiction, you can do that, etc. And then in the afternoon, we have craft talks that everybody goes to no matter what the genre. So if you're a poet, you still go to the screenwriting craft talk, and you still go to the fiction. So everybody gathers for those. So all 29 students and 6 faculty and whatever visitors are on campus, and there are a bunch of visitors usually, we'll all gather for the craft talks and the readings. Dinner at 5 to 6, and then the readings at 6, which are open to the public, 6 to 7:30.
Mm-hmm. And once again, they're at IAIA, which is south of the Santa Fe Community College, and get your maps and your Google Maps and everything out. So
Right, you get an orienteering merit badge if you make it. Now, it'll be easy this time. I wanted to point out one event that we haven't talked about, and that's Thursday night, January 9th at 8:30 p.m. There'll be a student reading, which I highly encourage, I'm really excited because I haven't seen the work. I've seen little pieces of it, but I haven't seen a lot of the student work, so this will be my chance to hear what they've accomplished in this first semester. So,
John, I wanted to ask you one more thing before we go. What is the Yop Barbaric?
The Yop Barbaric is a monthly column I'm doing for the Santa Fe Reporter, in which so far I've taken one poem by one New Mexican poet and just talked about what I like about that poem, a lot about the language of the poem because I love language. But it's been really fun. I get to spend a whole month with each poet, and soon I'll do Sherwin Bitsui, who's on the line with us.
Excellent.
I'll put him under the microscope next. I think I have to put Sherwin Bitsui under the telescope.
Under the telescope.
Rather than the microscope.
It's a high-powered telescope.
High-powered telescope, yeah.
Yeah, very going to be exciting. It'll be an exciting week, and it'll be intense, but I think everybody that comes to the program will enjoy it and have fun, and they'll write, and they'll take some things with them as they prepare for their second semester. So I'm excited about that, too.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. Sherwin Bitsui is a poet, and he is a faculty member at the Institute of American Indian Arts Creative Writing MFA program, of which John Davis is the director, and John is also Poet Laureate of the City of Santa Fe. I want to thank you both so much for being with us here on the Radio Cafe, and we will see you tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? We'll be there.
Tomorrow.
Excellent.